You're listening to Weekend Edition on Michigan Public.
Badgers live underground and are nocturnal, so not seen running around all that often, and yet they are associated with a negative, annoying verb.
That's what they say. Good morning, I'm Rebecca Kruth, and with us now is University of Michigan English professor Anne Curzan. Hi, Anne.
Good morning, Rebecca.
This week, we've got a question from Sherry. Sherry says, I don't hear this often, but today I heard somebody complaining about being badgered to participate in something. When did badgers become nags? I'm guessing they've never harassed anyone for anything. So how did the badger come to mean to harass? That's a good question. I bet badgers have just been minding their own business and somehow they got slapped with this.
It's such a great question. Sherry, thank you for writing in with it. I had not looked at this verb before, and I'm so glad that I did. Although the answer is unfortunate, because it goes back to, from what we can tell, a really cruel sport. Both the Oxford English Dictionary and Merriam-Webster Online connect badger as a verb to the sport of badger baiting.
I don't want to know what that is.
I know, but I'm going to explain it because it is relevant to the meaning. So this is a now illegal, but from what I can tell, perhaps still occurring blood sport that originated in Britain. And in this sport, people would use dogs to drive badgers out of their dens or out of these imitation or fake dens, like a box or a barrel. So you'd send the dog in. The baiting is in the meaning of harassing or attacking by biting. So the dog would bait the badger and the badger would fight back. And the verb probably relates to the tenacity or ferocity of the badger in latching onto the dog, which was attacking it. And that's where we start to see this meaning to badger. Originally, it meant to bait, to attack by biting. And then to badger comes to mean to subject to persistent harassment, or to pester or bother. And then by the late 1700s, we have the meaning that I think a lot of us use, which is to, I'm going to say, annoy someone with repeated or irritating requests to do something. That's how I would use badger. What about you, Rebecca?
Yeah, stop badgering me.
That's somebody who keeps saying something to you, like, have you done this yet, Anne? Have you done this yet?
Mm-hmm.
Stop badgering me. But what was interesting, too, is that in this same family of carnivorous mammals, we also have the weasel and the ferret, who also have verbs. Now, I would like to note that wolverines are also in this family of mammals, and they don't have a verb. But first, let's talk about weasel. Weasel shows up as a verb around 1900. Early on, it means to render a word or a phrase ambiguous. So writers could weasel words. And then later, the verb to weasel could mean to equivocate or prevaricate. So you could be using weasel words. In the 1920s, we see to weasel out of something in the physical sense. So you could weasel your way out of a car, which is just such a great image. And then by the 1950s, we get weasel out in the sense that I certainly use it. I don't know about you, Rebecca, but weaseling out for me is when you get yourself out of something, a situation, or maybe a commitment or a responsibility, and perhaps not in the best way.
Kind of sneaky, yeah.
To ferret. This one is old. To ferret out, meaning to search out or discover, we have evidence for this as early as the 1500s. And then just because we were talking about these little animals, I looked at squirrels and we have the verb to squirrel away. Rebecca, I always think about this as squirreling away money.
Like they do with their acorns.
You could squirrel away other things too. We get this verb around the 1900s. But Rebecca, I think we should leave our listeners with a challenge, given that you and I are in Ann Arbor at the University of Michigan, which is, if Wolverine were a verb, what would it mean?
I have a feeling there's some Spartans out there who might have some less than appropriate ideas for that, but we'll see what people can come up with.
I can hardly wait to see what we get.
Ryan Curzan is a professor of English at the University of Michigan. We look at the evolution of language every Sunday here on Weekend Edition. If you can't always catch us on Sunday, you can subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you have a question about our ever-changing language, email us at language@michiganpublic.org.